We're in a series called You Drive Me Crazy, and this is part four. And if you're joining us online, I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. Also, thank you for coming to be a part of this service. I believe you're going to be blessed by it. I want us to open a Bible to Luke chapter 19, verses, and here comes Luke. No. Verses 1 through 10. Let's read that together. Luke 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Okay? Now, tax collectors were not supposed to get rich. Okay? They worked for Romans, which was bad enough in Jewish culture. Jewish already, you know, all men have natural hatred for taxes. Come on, somebody. Yep. Right? If you look at your paycheck, you have a natural hatred for taxes. So even if it's your own people who are collecting, the people you elected who are collecting taxes, you don't like it. Come on. True? But here we have a man who's collecting taxes for the occupying force in the region called the Roman Empire. So double hatred, double whammy, correct? And so Zacchaeus is that guy. And how they worked in Texas, they didn't have like an IRS agency. They would hire and make it, they privatized tax collecting. So they would hire mean people, manipulative people, sneaky people, right? Very conniving people. They would hire these kind of people and they would say this. This is the percentage. For example, 20% you must collect from every person. Whatever you collect after that, we don't care. And look what the Bible says. And he became very rich. How did he become very rich? Because it wasn't 20%. He charged whatever he could get. Could you see why he was so hated in the region? He was very hated. Nobody in that culture, Jewish culture, wanted to be his friend. So the only friends that this man had was probably notorious criminals, probably prostitutes, probably notorious sinners, as the Bible called them. Okay? So that's the kind of people that Zacchaeus probably hung out with. And one day he heard about Jesus and he wants to see him. Let's read verse 3. It says this. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. Remember that. He was too short to see over the crowd. So Jesus is followed by this huge crowd and Zacchaeus wants to see him, but he's too short. He just can't. Jesus is just surrounded by a large group of people. How many of you know that wherever Jesus went, he was surrounded by a big group of people. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. But he was smart, okay? My shortness is not going to stop me from seeing this popular magician, this popular healer, miracle worker, whatever they called him that day. My shortness is not going to stop him, stop me. And so he runs ahead and climbs this tree. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick. Say quick. Make this message quick, Pastor. No, don't say that. Quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Whoa. Keep going. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in a great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people, if, come on. What kind of job do you do? And if I have, of course you have people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. What happens to Zacchaeus' heart here? Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now he's a Jew too, so he's son of Abraham. Next verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. If I stopped here, that would be enough of a sermon. But I'm not going to, because I know you want me to preach. We're in a series where we're learning to deal with difficult people. How many of you have a difficult person in your life? Okay, the rest of you are just, yeah. They're sitting next to you, so you're like, nope, I'm not raising my hand. You know the kind of person that light up the room when they leave it? You know the kind of person that inspired a color AD technology? You call me? Okay. The kind of person you want to unfriend on Facebook because they're just getting annoying. The kind of person you want to change your phone number. The kind of person you want to get off the messaging on Facebook. The kind of person that when they leave, you pray, God, why are you punishing me? So today we're going to look at part one of how to deal with difficult people. And I'm not talking about difficult people to me. I'm talking a difficult person to everybody. You know, there's people that I clash with. So do you. But everybody else likes them. Right? There's those kind of people. We're not talking about those. We're talking about people who are difficult to everybody. And Zacchaeus was difficult to everybody in his community. When he walked the street, they closed the doors. They hid the chickens. Because he's going to take 2 out of 10. If he can, he get 4 out of 10. He'll remind you that you didn't pay him last week or last month. So he was the most hated man. He was difficult. He annoyed people. People cursed him. They called him different names. They never called him by name. They called him thief, manipulator, liar. Maybe you know that kind of a person. There's 3 types of people in the world. There is givers. There is matchers. And there is takers. There's about 7% of people in the world who are takers. They look for a way to take something from you, but they never give. Now, who are the matchers? You know who are matchers? Matchers are, if I do something good for you, I expect you to do something good for me. They count. They are relational accountants. Yeah. The givers, they just always give. All right. And so Zacchaeus was one of those 7% of takers. He was hated by everybody. Maybe you work with somebody like that. They always take. They never give. They just take. They use people. They abuse people. Maybe you went to a church where all they did is took, but they never give back. They used you and then they spit you out when you were tired. Okay? So they're takers. All right? We don't like takers. I looked at my personal life and I understand that I'm a matcher. If I do something good for you, I want you to do something good for me. How many here are givers? Put your hands down so nobody will see. So now forget who they are. Shuffle them up. Let me just tell you something about givers. True givers didn't raise their hand. Because they didn't want to be seen. Because they're true givers. We don't know who you are. We don't know. Be careful when I ask you to raise your hand. You'd be like, you trapped me, Pastor. But I understand, you're a giver, yeah. But you see what I mean? But the most majority of people here, you know who they are? They're matchers. If I do some good for you long enough, and if you don't give some back, I'm done doing good for you. Matchers. Okay? Now, where did I learn this? I actually learned this. I went to a pastor's conference, and there was this guy from this expensive college, and he did research. And I will post his video on Facebook after the services today, so you can go and listen to that study. It's amazing. Okay? All right. So Zacchaeus was a taker. One of the 7% who is a taker.
take her in relationships, take her in money, take her, and that's why he was not liked by a lot of people. Now, this person, Zacchaeus, was difficult to everyone. So how do we deal with difficult people? Well, let's look at Jesus. Where everybody ignores this guy, everybody curses this guy, everybody wants to get away from this guy as much as possible, what does Jesus do? And he doesn't do this privately. We're like, hey, Zacchaeus, I love you, but in front of people, you know, I can't hang out with you. But hey, call me, you know, we'll meet somewhere where nobody goes to, nobody will see us from church, you know, from our city. You know, no, that's not what Jesus does. What he does is publicly in front of everybody, in front of this crowd who actually got mad at him, got angry with him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down quick. I have to be at your house today. And people are like, what? What? So how do we respond to people who are difficult, who drive us crazy? The natural response, to be honest, is to ignore them. The natural response, to avoid them. So if they go to your church and they sit on this corner, you sit on that corner. If they come to the first service, you go to the second service. All right? You try to ignore it. That's the natural response, but I don't believe that's a response of love, guys. And to be honest, I've been, I have people I want to ignore too. But you can't ignore a person for too long. You have to deal with them. You have to deal with them. You have to talk to them. You have to see if it's possible for you to have peace with them. But the natural response, guys, for me too, and is to ignore them, is to avoid them, is to avoid them. But you can never avoid people. Somehow when you're trying to avoid somebody, have you noticed? God brings them to you. I'm getting bold right here. God brings them to you. So point number one, how do you deal with difficult person? Have compassion on those who annoy you or anger you. Write this down. Have compassion on those who annoy you or anger you. Zacchaeus was very short, Bible says. He was very short, okay? And he could not see Jesus. There's a phrase that's called short man disease or short man syndrome or a Napoleon syndrome, or you can say Putin, Vladimir Putin syndrome, okay? What happens when a person is short in an area of some area of their life, and this is, doesn't mean necessarily physically short, so I'm not here to attack short people, okay? I think in heaven we're going to be all like 5 foot tall. You know why? So we don't walk around being like all arrogant. So, or maybe 5'5", somewhere in there, average. That's what Jesus was. In those days, you know, men were about 5'5", and Jesus was average. He wasn't like high above everybody else. And so when people have a deficiency, and for Zacchaeus, his shortness was his deficiency, they overcompensate in some other way. Have you ever known a short person maybe who was very angry and very confrontational, and he is in your face and he's going to punch you? Have you ever known a girl who was maybe had a deficiency somewhere, and she just became mean and would attack you and would talk about everybody, would be a drama queen maybe? Deficiency. Zacchaeus became very cunning and manipulative. Maybe he couldn't get things his way when he was a kid. Maybe because he was short, people ignored him. Maybe people pushed him around. So Zacchaeus said, I'm smart and I'm going to become the best at what I do, and I'm going to become very rich, and I'm going to rule over people, and I'm going to control people, and everybody will fear me. In my childhood, I watched a movie. I think it was called Casino. And there this short guy, I don't know his name. Yeah, man, he was angry. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? He takes a telephone handle and starts beating a big dude in cowboy hat. Just bang, bang. I'm like, whoa. People who have a deficiency try to overcompensate in some other way. Okay? So have compassion on people. At 12 years old, my family moved to United States, and I knew zero English. And so I went to middle school with zero English. That was I want to block out my middle school. Any of you want to block out a year maybe in school? Plus, I didn't know how to dress because my parents didn't have any money. We just moved here. I mean, we didn't have any money. And all the clothes that I wore was from my church. And my church, the church we went to was a Lutheran church. And they had mostly older people. They had almost no kids. Our family was like the kids' church there. There was another family, my cousin's family right there, was there too. But they were really nice people, and we were like the youngest in that church. Everybody else was old in that church. And they were nice people, and they would bring us their old clothes. So these men, they were obviously businessmen. They would bring these khakis, nice like office shoes, you know, nice shirts. Well, to me, it was like, okay, that looks good. And it's clean and it's nice. So I would wear a nice shirt, a nice khaki pants with nice shoes. That was like, this was early 90s. That was like from 80s or maybe 70s. And I would go to school thinking I'm it. But when I came to school, how many of you know that put a target for bullies on my back? Oh my goodness. Oh, and the problem was I didn't know how to respond because I didn't know any English. And I thought of myself as a nice guy. I'm not a confrontational. I wouldn't fight you on purpose. I wouldn't pick you and fight you on purpose. I'm not that kind of a person. I actually defended people in Ukraine from bullies. That was my thing. That's what I was known for. If there's anything I was known for, is defending people who getting bullied. And I was good with my tongue, and sometimes I would, you know, defend people. But here, I became a mute in a day. It's like, and they're all pointing at you, nice shoes, nice, I remember that. And they're laughing at you, and I'm trying to block it out. It's coming, Lord. Block it out. And so I learned a phrase. Because I couldn't speak, I started overcompensating in another area. I became, you want to fight? That was my phrase. I didn't know much English, but you want to fight? Now, once I learned the language again, I was done. I didn't have to do that anymore. Plus, I learned how to dress myself. I'm like, Mom, you've traumatized me by buying me clothes from Goodwill. But we overcompensate. Do you see what I mean? Whenever we see we have a deficit somewhere, real or perceived, because you could be a beautiful lady and you perceive you have a deficit and you start acting out, right? You could be a good-looking gentleman, a man, but you have a in your head deficit. But I'm talking also there. It's an outward deficit or inward deficit. Maybe you're a girl today. And you're single, and you feel like you have a deficit. You feel so you start dating everybody and being with every man just to feel like you're good enough. Are you trying to cover a deficit? Maybe you are a person who feels deficit, and you start attack people and start cutting people with your lips or with your tongue. Where do you feel a deficit? Maybe you feel like your family is a mess. So you try to put on a show that you are not them. And you're trying to overcompensate. I believe Zacchaeus was that type of a person.
Do you know somebody who's very cunning? Maybe very manipulative? Maybe very sharp with their words? Maybe very judgmental? Maybe somebody who's always picking on the speck in your eye? Do you know somebody like that? Church is actually full of people who love to pick on other people's specks while ignoring their own 2x4 in their own eye. Actually, the people that I've dealt with who pick on other people the most usually have the most unforgiveness towards themselves. Guilty people are the most negative and religious people in the church. Right? Because they look for something that they struggle with and they try to... Have you noticed that pastors who've struggled with homosexuality secretly attacked homosexuals out of their messages the most? Why? Deficit. Right? It's like this. When I had a Toyota Tundra, all I could see when I drove was Toyota Tundra. Now I have a Ford pickup F-150. Guess what? All I see is Ford F-150. I don't see Tundra anymore. I see. Why? Because what we think about is what we struggle with. What we love is what we think about. Deficit. Be careful how you go and correct people. How you pick on people specs in their life. Look at yourself. Do I struggle with the same problem? Oh, everybody's so greedy. Are you greedy? Well, not today. I was, but not today. Well, why don't you just overcome yours first and then attack other people? But not in this church, please. Not in this church. That's my job, okay? It's a pastor's job to correct the sheep, not the sheep to bite other sheep. I'm not calling you guys sheep. The Bible says that. I'm in trouble. I'm just in trouble today. Okay, so do you know somebody who is very cunning, manipulative? That's actually a sign that they are short. Now, not physically short. I'm not attacking physically short people. It's my wife is short. No, she's not here. Sorry. I love my wife, you know? That's actually a sign that they're short, not physically short, but emotionally short. Maybe morally short. Maybe spiritually short. Maybe relationally short. That's what Zacchaeus was. He wasn't just physically short. He was short in other areas. But notice, Jesus does not ignore Zacchaeus. Notorious criminal, we could say a mobster. A gangster. He does not ignore him. He goes to him in front of a ton of people. And then he says, quick. That word is like, Jesus, why did you say quick? Before somebody changes their mind. I don't know. But come down. I must be at your house. What is your deficit? Guys, we all have a deficit or two. I have a couple of deficits. You have a couple of deficits. What are you trying to hide? What are you trying to overcompensate? Many times the negative behavior on the outside is the secret pain or deficit on the inside. Quiet in this morning service. He's a jerk. He's so mean. No. Maybe he was wounded in his life and is very defensive with everybody. She's a slut, right? Is that a word? Bad word? No. She will sleep with anybody. No, maybe she is a daughter who didn't have a relationship with her father. Maybe he treated her badly. Maybe he even abused her. And so now she's trying to look for love in all the wrong places. Deficit. He won't look me in the eye. I don't trust him. No. Maybe he's so insecure about himself that he's afraid to look at you in the eye. Maybe it's that. See, a lot of times how we behave goes deep. with roots into our childhood or how we've been treated in the past. A lot of times how we behave is based on how somebody else treated. Maybe somebody treated you bad in church. Maybe a pastor treated you really bad in church. And now you think all of them are bad. Maybe a man treated you bad and you're like, oh, men are pig. All they want is assy. No, not all of them are bad. Maybe in a circle that you hang out with. Yeah, maybe those are bad, but not everybody. I know some good men who love their families, who stay there, who provide, who protect. Not all. Come on, somebody. Don't be so quick to judge a person who is hurting, who's reactionary, who's like Zacchaeus. Notice Jesus doesn't say, hey, all your sins have to be cleaned first. You have to pay for your sins. You have to give the money back. Then I'll accept you. No, he doesn't say that. He said, let's go eat at your house. Man, Jesus just, I'm telling you, Jesus is like a whole different mind thinking. I'm like, Jesus, how? Like the world thinks this way. You don't hang out with him. Church people think this way. But you, and some of us who've been long in church, we are a part of that. We don't hang out with those people. They're dirty. They're unclean. And that's what the Jews would call him, unclean, right? That's not who Jesus is. Guys, we are to be like Christ. As a Christian means I'm like Christ. And to be honest with you, I'm not there. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Help me, God. I want to be there. And so Jesus is showing us a way where whoever everybody else ignores, he goes after. He goes after. Point number two, don't avoid a difficult person. Love them and go to them. Jesus sees Zacchaeus on a tree, and guess what he says? He calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus. I wonder if Zacchaeus was ever called by his name. Religious people, we have words. Cursed of God, damned to hell, the one who is short, little demon over there. We religious have our own name. The people who are outside of church, they would be like, man, that evil, conniving, liar, thief, wish God judge. Where's God to punish men like that? Maybe Zacchaeus haven't heard his name for a long time. Because of the crowd he hung out with. Because of the friends that he had, like him. But not Jesus. I hope this is breaking your religious mindset. Because we, after being in church for a while, we get religious. We get stiff religious. And we have to always break our thinking. I get religious, you get religious. Some of you have never been not religious. So God is still working, chopping it up out of you. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I must be at your house. And he says, quick. Before Zacchaeus could give him an excuse, Jesus says, quick, come down. I'm going to your house. Don't avoid difficult people. Love them. When our child, moms, dads, when your child is difficult, do you ignore them? The worst thing you can do is ignore a difficult child, right? You think, okay, they're going to grow up and leave home and I don't have to deal with it anymore. But that's not very loving, right? You don't ignore when your child does something bad, you have to deal with it. When your child is acting in certain ways, speaks certain words, you have to deal with it. And because we love them, we do that. It would be unloving for the parents to ignore a difficult child. Now at work, I run a business, so I know this. If you don't deal with a difficult person, even if they don't work for you, guess what? That difficultness will spread to
the rest of the company. And the good people, if I don't deal with it, if you're a manager or boss and you don't deal with a difficult person, what happens is the good people will leave out of your company. Because they're like, boss is not doing their job. The manager is not doing their job, right? Their poison, that nasty smell from them just spreads. Same in your home. If you don't deal with the difficult child, the rest of the kids will look at the difficult child, and now you'll have three difficult children. Come on, somebody. And plus, you're not helping your child. You're just like, I just want to be favorite parent. I just want to be the cool parent. You can be friends with your kids after they leave your home. But till they leave your home, you got to be a parent. They have many friends. They have many friends. They need a parent right now. Right now, they need a parent. And so you have to deal with difficult people. In church, the same thing. And as a pastor, I'm like, I already deal with my work, difficult people. I already deal at home, you know. And you want to ignore. As a pastor, I want to be the nice pastor. I want to be the cool pastor, you know, loving pastor. I want everybody to like me. So I don't want to deal with difficult people. But if I don't deal with a difficult person, if I don't call them in my office, hey, what's up? What's going on? Nothing. Everybody's so mean in this church. Nobody likes me. You know, so I have to sit down and say, okay, so what's really going on? What is really going on in your life? And then you find out it's not really the church people, it's something else that's happening in their life. But if I don't deal with it, guess what? They start going and spreading. It's like yeast, the Bible says. It just, okay, it just spreads. It's like poison. When you get poisoned in your arm or somewhere, it doesn't stay there, it spreads. Plus, it's very unloving. It's very unloving to not talk to the person who's difficult, to ignore somebody. And notice Jesus does not ignore. How many of you are being blessed by this message so far? Amen? Jesus does not ignore. We might avoid office, church, small group, family reunion, but the heart of Jesus is opposite than the heart of the world. So what does Jesus do? He goes to the home of Zacchaeus. Verse 5, let's put that on the screen. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, Zacchaeus. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Now, you can't go to everybody's home, right? But if you could, that's actually a great way to deal with conflict, is to go to somebody's home. Because when you eat with them, right, most likely they're not going to kick you out of their house till you deal with the problem. True? You go there and hang out with them. And I'm sad that we live in a culture that people don't invite a lot of people to their home anymore. Have you noticed that? People are like, so, especially in Sioux Falls. Somebody told me, everybody's super nice in Sioux Falls. They moved from the South. But they will never invite you to their home. They're like, in the South, they'll be like, come get some tea. We got some sweet tea, iced tea, whatever. Come to my home. But in Sioux Falls, people are super kind and nice, but they won't invite you to their home. We got dogs and guns, so. But empathize by going home with that. In that culture, to go home with somebody like Zacchaeus was to validate their lifestyle. And notice, Jesus knew the culture. He grew up in it. And he does not care. He does not care. He goes to this man's home. He doesn't care about his reputation in the community. He doesn't care what people call him. He doesn't care that no good religious person would ever go to his home. Jesus says, I will go to his home. I will go to his home. To empathize with someone is to walk in their shoes.
A lot of times we look at people and we're like, how can they live like that? How can they be like that? Well, they grew up in an environment like that. For example, if you grew up in an environment where there was no two parents living together, it was all single family home, and you stayed in that circle of friends or that community, most likely you would end up exactly the same. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's in the environment that we grew up with, because if I grew up in that, I probably would be that or worse. So Jesus knows that we grew up in sin, and sinners sin a lot. So he says, I have come not to judge them, but I came to save them. Put verse 10 on the screen as I finish. For the Son of Man came to seek and save, not judge those who were lost. Later, Jesus says in John, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. How dare you judge somebody? Who appointed you judge over people? No man could be a judge, because every man is a sinner in the face of God. So be kind to people, be compassionate, be empathetic to people, have empathy for people. And that's what Jesus says. I want to see you home. I want to see what it's like. What do you think was in Zacchaeus' home? A lot of stuff, but maybe not a lot of loved ones. People like Zacchaeus have a lot of toys, but they live alone. They have nice toys, big houses, nice cool garages, but no friends and no family. Maybe his own family was afraid of him. He was such a conniving, manipulative, evil person. Jesus says, let me come to your home quick before you change your mind. And so Jesus goes to his home and they begin to eat there. Now, point number 4, show kindness to people who are in emotional wheelchairs. It's my last point, so give me like a few more minutes of your time. We used to have this club called The Basement, downstairs of this church. Now we have kids' church there, but it used to be this Christian club. Some of you remember that, right? And we would invite bands, and most of the bands that came there were like hard metal, and it would stink after each concert. Because they would take their shirts off. They were supposedly Christians. I couldn't understand their words. But boy, those guys had fun. And there's a group in this, there's like a community in this town who love hard metal. And the only people who would like want to play there was like the hard metal people. And they would bring their own crowd and things like that. And so we would have that event. But the problem was we didn't have an elevator. And so there would be people who come in wheelchairs. And some of them came in motorized wheelchairs. Do you guys remember that? They came in motorized wheelchairs. And those motorized wheelchairs, they weigh like a ton. And they would want to go there. And we haven't had so we would ask like 5-6 guys who were strong young men. And we were like be lifting this wheelchair. And it was heavy, guys. It was heavy. But notice, none of us complained. We didn't say, why don't you do it yourself? Right? If somebody said that in my church to a person in a wheelchair, I would be like, what are you doing? That's you being a jerk. Don't do that, right? Would you say something if somebody said, hey, go downstairs yourself. We're not here to carry you down. No, we treat people with disabilities a certain way. We help them, you know, we accommodate them. We help them as much as we can. The problem with difficult people is that you can't see the wheelchair. I said something profound. And just first row or second got it. The problem with difficult people is that you cannot see the wheelchair, because it's an emotional wheelchair. And if God had special glasses and I would look at this crowd today, I would see a lot of people with emotional wheelchairs. Yeah. emotionally crippled, socially crippled, spiritually crippled. Lots of people. Lots of people. The good thing news is this. They were not supposed to stay in a wheelchair. Wheelchairs are not designed for people to stay in and enjoy their life that way. People who are in wheelchairs, if they can get out, they will get out. I had a knee surgery and they put me in a wheelchair because my knee was like a basketball. I didn't want to be there. I was like, no, I can walk. Give me just a crutch. I can walk without. No way I'm going to sit in a wheelchair. But if you look at people who are difficult and act cray-cray in your life, it's most likely they are an emotional wheelchair that you cannot see. You wouldn't treat a person in a wheelchair, real wheelchair, by saying, hey, hurry up, you're too slow, you're acting weird, why are you so quiet, why do you talk so much? You know, you wouldn't treat them that way, right? So why do we treat people in emotional wheelchairs that way? Compassion. That's where compassion has to come in. Are you getting the point I'm trying to drive? Amen. The natural response is to ignore a person in an emotional wheelchair. But that's not what Jesus does. Zacchaeus had some emotional wheelchairs, but Jesus doesn't ignore him. He goes to him. And a lot of times, people in emotional wheelchairs, you're like, hey, you want to go to lunch after church? You don't want me there anyway. Right? And you want to say, no, I don't. But notice, that's self-preservation. That's self-love. That's selfish love. You want to go to lunch? No, man. I don't. You don't want me there anyway. Yes, we do. Really? Yeah, come on. Compassion. Come on, let's go eat. If they want to invite you to their house, invite them to Applebee's. Come on, man, let's go. No. I got important things to do. No, you don't. You're a loner. You're an emotional wheelchair. Come on, let's go. Don't say that. Don't say that, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to call and have that call. Hey, what's up? I haven't seen you in church for a while. And they have a good excuse and you just listen. Oh yeah. And you listen 90%, talk 10%. That's what I've noticed. And people will tell you what the real problem is if you let them talk. You know what? New Life Church is built on a saying, we love you even with your deficits. Amen? We love you the way you are, like you are, with your deficit. And we don't allow people to bully others, especially religious people, to bully other, especially new believers. We don't allow that. So if somebody comes to you and starts picking on you, how they don't like your hair or your t-shirt, tell me. It's my job. Pastor. Amen. Shepherd. I'll take care of the business. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I got you. No, because that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't pick. And if Jesus picked on Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus would have closed up. Jesus doesn't pick. He says, let's go eat. Let's go drink wine in your house. And Zacchaeus was like, oh yeah. And so here's all these prostitutes serving Jesus. And the religious people are looking through the windows. What's he doing? Reporters, you know, the religious people. What's he doing there? Jesus chilling, laughing, and religious people want to be there, but their religiousness will not allow him to be there. And after Jesus was done eating at Zacchaeus' house, I don't know what was said, but Zacchaeus in verse 9, I believe. Let's put verse 9. Look what Zacchaeus said. Nope, verse 8. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. How does that happen? To a greedy, short, rich, conniving, manipulating person. How can one lunch change everything? Because that's, guys, lunches can change everything. Dinners can change everything. Who are you arguing you just need to sit down and eat with? After one lunch or one dinner, notice this, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. If I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Verse 9. And listen to what Jesus responds. Salvation has come to this home today. Reconciliation with God has come to this home today. For you and me, reconciliation with your brother or sister who you've been arguing and fighting for years with. Reconciliation with a coworker. Reconciliation with your ex. I'm not saying remarriage, reconciliation. Talking again. Reconciliation with the people you've hurt or the people who've hurt you. Reconciliation. God doesn't want you to live with the baggage that Zacchaeus was living with. Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. He's a part of the family. And now he's truly part of the family. Notice, Jesus never told him to give money back. He just ate with him. Maybe you need to just eat with a person. Maybe they'll apologize themselves. You don't have to say, hey, you need to apologize to me. Maybe they'll just say, listen, I've been, I don't know how to say this, but I messed up. I treated you badly. Hallelujah. We want to be a church that loves people even with their deficits, because all of us have emotional wheelchairs. In January 22nd, we're going to knock out the walls here by the grace of God. And you know why we're going to do that? So we can fit more people. Because when a church is 70 to 80% full, it stops growing. And there's lots of people who need to hear this message. I have you come to me all the time and say, Pastor, your message is changing my life. Exactly what I needed to hear. There's a lot more people like you and me who need to hear this message from God and to be healed and to be restored. Now, if you have an emotional wheelchair, don't stay in it. And how do you? The first step, invite yourself to their house. Come on. What did Jesus do? Zacchaeus didn't invite Jesus to his house. The bad person in your life is not going to maybe invite you to their house. But guess what you can do? I'll invite myself. Hey, can I come to your house? Or just drop by and say, hey, I'm here. Here's some donuts. How you doing? I've done that before too. Doesn't give people time to overthink. Quick, quick, Zacchaeus. Quick, 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 quick. I gotta be in your house. We gotta get this right, Zacchaeus, because you're son of Abraham, you're son of Israel, you're part of the family. Don't live on the outside, be a part of the family of God. Amen. Come on, somebody, clap your hands and bless God.